What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live at 6:34 p.m. in the Eastern on Monday afternoon. Not a whole lot going on Packers-wise, but former Packers and almost Packers are making those a few headlines. Most notable, most undoubtedly, the comments from Blake Martinez to the local media here in New York. Not least of which was his commentary on how he was used by Mike Pettine in Green Bay in the scheme, saying that Green Bay undervalues inside linebackers and doesn't value them in line with how the rest of the league maybe views the position. That was a bit to unpack there, I will say that. I have not heard the actual audio, but I did find this interesting from Pat Leonard from Daily News. Critical Martinez was of the Green Bay defense. Says he and the Packers talked, but the way he valued himself, meaning Blake, was not in line with the way Green Bay did. Also, he very clearly has heard the many criticisms of his game, the many laments about the fact that, yes, while productive, a lot of his tackles come 5, 6, 7 yards downfield. I found this interesting. He said he was critical of the Green Bay defense in which he was, quote, taught and told to be the cleanup crew guy. Martinez says he had no gap responsibilities in Green Bay this past season and was basically told by Mike Pettine to play off whatever Za'Darius and Preston did up front and, quote, make them right, unquote. Then Pat does say Martinez was going into great detail about how the Packers used him. Now, I do not doubt there is a kernel of truth here. I do find it interesting that he felt it necessary to combat a perception of his game that has not been ever once that I can remember posited publicly by the Packers, any player with Green Bay, any coaching staff member, or any personnel person. Obviously Blake has certainly read the online comments, read, social media, certainly on Twitter. He did make a point of coming up to me the first day of training camp practice last summer after he picked off Aaron Rodgers' very first pass and saying, now you can't say I'm not a playmaker. He was saying it jokingly. So it's very clear that he pays attention to these things. I find it unfortunate that he felt he needed to defend himself. I'm sure the New York media was going in on some of the things they have seen online. But yeah, I am interested to see how he does get used in New York and how it differs from his time in Green Bay. I know Patrick Graham, his defensive coordinator, did spend a year in Green Bay, and he likes him, and they have a good relationship. It'll be very interesting to see if he's let off the leash, so to speak, and if he is a little bit more productive in a different scheme. What's up, everybody in the comment section? Ismail, whose side are you on? I'm on the side of truth, baby. I mean, I'll tell you what. I wouldn't have given much credence to the idea that he was told he had no gap responsibilities and just to clean up what Za'Darius and Preston did. If the NFC Championship game hadn't happened, because there are a number of times you do see Zeke jump inside and things rupture, or you see Preston hold the outside edge but is unable to disengage, and Martinez is late, and that's why the tackle is made well downfield rather than keeping the play to a minimal gain. And I did kind of wonder about the idea of, well, if your gap responsibility is X, Y, Z in this over front, and you've got your edges, especially Za'Darius, jumping inside, allowing people to just take the edge, you know, and that's not to say that happened on every play. This is very selective, obviously, and very anecdotal, obviously. But I do wonder, and I do think it mostly, you know, there is, like I said, I'm sure there's some kernel of truth there, and I'm sure it did get frustrating for Martinez. I also saw a quote where he did talk about the man match scheme that they run in Green Bay and how a lot of times it would look as though he were at fault for another rupturing of a big pass play. And there, I do not doubt him in the slightest. I think the most obvious example of that is in Kansas City. The very first big touchdown they have, Moore throws to the tight end. And I remember afterwards, everyone saying, oh, Blake was caught looking in the backfield. Blake completely blew it, etc. Except that later that week, when you talk to the coaches, they said it was absolutely not on Blake. And it was a breakdown on the back end as a complete whole and not just Blake's fault. So, I think there's kernels of truth in there. It's just unfortunate that he felt the need to defend himself when no one in Green Bay has attacked him other than the fans. And, you know, the fans, does that really matter? I don't know. I mean, he got paid. That's the other thing. It's not like it's the fan Twitter sphere stopped him from getting paid. I mean, it's undoubtedly played into the vocalization of the frustrations of his production and where it happened. Certainly paid into Green Bay not wanting to pay him. But, you know, it's a two-way street. And if Green Bay is using him a certain way and he feels he knows he can be more productive and or make more plays in a better scheme or a different scheme, yeah, I don't begrudge him for going and getting paid. This doesn't make Pettine look good. No, it does not. And it will be very interesting the first time we get to hear from Mr. Pettine how he responds to this, because I do not doubt for a second, no matter how long coronavirus has its talons in us, we could go a decade of no football, and the first day back, someone on the beat, I'll fly out there if I have to, will ask Mike Pettine, so about those quotes from Blake Martinez? Bet on that. How great would Jerry Jeudy be opposite Adams? All right, Garrett, yes. Yes. But I try not to entertain fantasy land, although it would be glorious, no doubt. Hey, bud, good to see you. Good to see you, Bulls for life. I miss those Bulls teams, man. I miss Jordan and Pippen. And that whole squad, man. Rodman underneath. Those are good times. Finally caught a live one. Hey, Nags. Hey, what's up? Wait, I want to get Bulls for Life's question. Did you have a question? Did I miss it? I know it takes pieces to transition to a different defense, but I would love us to get back to 2010-11 defense with three big line, Pickett, Raji, etc. formation. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to see a majority of three-man lines while Pettine's in town. Yeah, I just don't. You know, for the majority of the NFL, it is still very much a aerial game, an aerial attack, and Pettine certainly is rooted in that three safety system that he likes to run. Now, it worked well when Raven Green was out there. It's just when Raven left, things kind of fell apart. I don't doubt for a second that we will see a sprinkling of some more three-man line stuff, but I don't think it's ever going to be the predominant personnel package on defense in Green Bay while Mike Pettine's defensive coordinator. How's your neighborhood going? Is the story being hit hard? It's quiet. It's real quiet. There's still, I literally just went out to pick up some souvlaki. Got to support your locals. There are people walking to get laundry, get something from the grocery store. We all very much social distance. Cross the street if you can. It's quiet here. It's very, very quiet. And it's just weird. It's just surreal in New York right now. Who are some realistic options at 30? Kyler Murray. No, I don't know. I hope, I pray. I think Blacklock, the defensive tackle, I think he's realistic. I think some of the – I don't know about Mims. I've seen Mims so many times in mocks. I doubt that actually happens, but I'd love it. I'd also love Jefferson. Trying to think other positions. I mean, Jordan Love, maybe they take a quarterback. I don't know. Jitsu, thanks for the super chat. Sorry, not Packers related, but just curious if they'll make more shows like The Mandalorian. I love space battles in the galaxy far, far away. Well, they were going to make Kenobi, and then they pulled that because the scripts reportedly were too much like The Mandalorian. I'm like, I don't care. Give me more Star Wars. But yes, they will be making more Star Wars shows for Disney Plus. Of that, you can definitely count on. I do not doubt for a second they'll make some kind of Lando show for Disney Plus. Donald Glover is too good a talent to waste. And that Kenobi will happen eventually. I don't know about what they're going to do with Cassian Andor. I know they had pulled the plug on that for a while as well. Joel, thanks for the super chat. How much stock do you put in Blake's comments? A bit. I mean, like I said, I'm sure there's a kernel of truth there. No doubt about it. Now, the New York media is going to run with it. It's going to be a thing. Like I said, as soon as Pettine is available, made available by the Packers, who knows when that will be, given the current circumstances. But I do not doubt he will be asked about it. But, you know, I don't doubt for a second that there was frustration on Blake's part because of the scheme. And I do not doubt for a moment that Mike Pettine wanted to feature the Smiths. Now, where I kind of say, okay, Blake, I understand what you're saying, but allow me to retort. The Smiths weren't there 2 years ago, and you had the same issues. So that's about it. Wash your hands, wash your butt. Nick, you got that right. Like, share, subscribe. That's what I'm talking about. Now, there's a message we can all get behind. Wash your hands, wash your butt. Like, share, subscribe. I like it. I hear people texting me. Would you go Blacklock or Kenneth Murray at 30 if both are still available? Oh, Sophie's choice. I love them both, but Murray's my crush, so I got to go with Murray. I love Murray, though. The Packers would probably go with Blacklock, though. I think Gutekunst would very much fall under the Ted Thompson, the good Lord only made so many big guys, right? I think that's where he would go. But I would go Kenneth Murray. It's not sexy, but O-line or D-line would make – I agree. I very much agree. At 30 especially, it would not surprise me whatsoever to see them go the big body at the 30th pick. What about Tremont? I thought they would bring him back. Julia, I think there's still a chance. My guess would be they're going to wait to see what happens and shakes out in the draft. And if they feel they need a little reinforcement at corner, they'll sign him. But there's a good possibility they take a corner in this draft, and that could even come in the first 2 days. So I doubt on 30, but you never know. So if the value is there, they could make that pick. So I think they're going to wait. I think their preference would be to wait until after the draft. So we'll see. Or, you know, hell, they may just be trying to wait him out, trying to get his number to drop and sign him right before the draft. That could also happen. So Blake will shine like the star he is, right? You guys are so cynical. I love it. You're all so jaded. Not all of you. A lot of you, though. I mean, what's wrong? He was frustrated. He's allowed to be frustrated, isn't he? I mean, I don't think anyone's begrudging the fact that, yeah, I don't doubt for a second it's frustrating getting, gashed in the run game and or the passing game and fans continually saying, oh, Blake sucks in coverage when he's not responsible for the guy who caught the ball. That's got to get a little frustrating. So I don't begrudge him when asked about it by the New York media saying, yeah, well, okay, here's my version of events. Again, this is kernel of truth. I do not doubt for a second. I don't think it's the whole truth, but it's certainly something there. You see, perfect example. Missed it. What's Blake bitching about? His lack of coverage skills? I rest my case. I was frustrated watching Blake Martinez too. Joel, you're one of many. Looking forward to Gary in the beginning of the season, especially with Z possibly suspended. Ooh, Ryan going right to the suspension, right to the hot stuff. I mean, let me tell you something. In the current climate where the NFL finds itself, who knows what's going to happen with Z and the timing of that suspension, if there even is one. Now, yes, he took the hit. Pardon the expression for his teammates, and was booked, etc. We did see Aaron Jones be suspended for something similar. We've seen other guys get suspended for something similar. In the spirit of the new CBA, however, and I know this happened prior, but who knows what Goodell might do in the post-coronavirus new CBA world, where his authority has not been diminished, but perhaps, possibly, he lets it ride, lets it slide. You never know. Can I see Mike Daniels coming back? Doubtful, real doubtful, Dylan. One of the reasons they wanted to move on, other than his salary, was getting older, body starting to break down. Lo and behold, he misses basically the whole season for Detroit. You know, I think the whole point there is to get younger, get more athletic. That's what they've got in Kingsley Keke. They just need to get him on the field. Weed is okay in the NFL next year. Yes, that is correct. If what Blake says is true, does that make drafting inside linebacker early a bad idea? I mean, not necessarily. There are still plenty of plays to be made from a more physically gifted linebacker, which is presumably what you would find at pick 30 rather than in round 4. But it does speak to the Packers devaluing the position, which evidence certainly suggests is true throughout the last decade or so. I mean, whether it's Dom Capers or Mike Pettine, inside backer has not been a priority for the organization. Zero question there. We may not even have that first game for anyone to be suspended for. Well, Joel, they'll play games eventually, and then the suspensions could be handed out. Woo, start Favre or Rodgers. Bart Starr. As long as we're talking completely made-up nonsense, always choose Bart Starr. Did you see Coward say no? If you start your question like that, the answer is always no. When is your draft report coming out? Russell, I'm glad you asked. The Cheesehead TV draft guide is complete. And now the Cheesehead TV draft guide is complete. The draft guide will be available and emailed to everyone who pre-ordered on Friday. Patreon members who pre-ordered will get their link for download probably tomorrow at some point. Maybe even late tonight, but definitely some swath of tomorrow. So it's dropping soon. Get on board. Hi, Nags. How do you see the draft running amidst social distancing? Really good question. I don't think it's so tough, right? Obviously, I think teams are going to have to jump through hoops. I think it's pretty easy for the league because the league needs 32 ports, right? You can do that. Hell, we do that at LiveX all the time. The commissioner has to be, or the league office, such as it is, wherever they're, however they're situated, needs to be fed the information. And now look, here's the secret. And here's what, here's how people used to tip picks. And now the NFL has put the kibosh on that, but how tip picks used to happen, and still on the very rare occasion still does, there is a system that all 32 teams in the league office are all connected to. And as soon as a selection is made, it gets put into that system well before you see it announced on television. So everyone is privy to it. The thing I don't know, and I'm interested to find out how they go about it, is their presentation of it. Now, the draft has gotten so ridiculous over the years and so pomp and circumstance and fucking bloated. I'm hoping that this kind of knocks it back down to size, right? To what it is. It's a player selection process. That's all. We don't need fucking orangutans announcing picks. I'm with Mike Mayock on that one. But I suspect they'll have some kind of virtual, like, here's whatever representative, whether it's a, I doubt it'll be the GM, obviously, but someone with a team, whether it's a, even, I mean, hell, back in the day, they used to send like an equipment guy to New York to answer the phone on the floor of Radio City. So I think they'll have someone akin to that make the selection into the system, you know, they'll enter it and or appear on camera, so to speak, for the league's broadcast slash webcast slash whatever to announce the pick. Now, that's, you know, obviously the majority of the draft. For the first round, I still think Roger probably announces it in some form or fashion. But like I said, those picks come in like that on the system. They just don't get announced publicly till well after they're made. So hopefully this helps streamline the draft a little bit and makes it not last like a billion hours. Can you explain dead cap money? Whew, Ricky, that's a good question. Kind of. There are lots of different kind of gradations, but majority of it is when somebody, say, signs a contract and it has X amount of dollars, especially guaranteed dollars, signing bonus, success. Signing bonus gets prorated, split up into years. And a lot of what happens when a guy gets cut is the money remaining that is owed to him and or space that it takes up on your cap, there's a certain amount that gets left on your cap. And this is in a 1,000,000,000% simplified, just to kind of give you an idea. So that if your contract counts this much and you leave, there's a certain amount of money that you are still owed that counts, say, that much, that remains and counts towards the cap. And what's nice is sometimes when a guy does get cut and or moved, that money can be, that dead cap can be transferred, so to speak, to the new team. That's hard to explain. That's making a hash of it. I'll try and keep it simple. Basically, if you have guaranteed money left on your deal and you get cut, that money, a semblance of that money remains on the cap. That's about as simple as I can make it. It's a billion times more complicated than that, though. Do you think the Packers are done with free agency? Maybe a D-line still in play? Long shot. They're hovering around $12 million. I think they're at number 8 overall in the least amount of cap space. They're in the top 10 for least amount of cap space in the league. And obviously, they still got to extend Kenny. They still got to extend, they probably want to extend Bakhtiari, and they still got to do a deal with Aaron Jones, and they got to sign their rookies. So anything they do is going to have to be a very, very minimal deal. I'm talking like a one-year vet minimum type of thing. So we'll see if Snacks Harrison wants to come chase a ring in Green Bay for the vet minimum with some escalators. God bless him. That'd be great. But, you know, I do think that they'll pick over whatever's left. But for the most part, what you see is what you get right now, and they're going to look to the draft to augment the talent base. What do you think about the Funchess signing now that the numbers are out? I think it makes a ton of sense. I mean, I think I thought it was initially like the total value could reach $4 million, like 3.7 or whatever, but that's actually the incentives. So I think the total value could possibly be around hovering around $5 million, which isn't awful. You know, if he reaches that number, it means he's balled out. I mean, balled out. Otherwise, it's like $2 million, 2 point something, that you don't owe him a dime if you cut him before week one. You know, veteran salaries aren't guaranteed until they are active on the, used to be 46, now it's 48-man roster, or soon to be 48-man roster on game day of week one. But right up until that time, they can cut him without penalty. So, yeah, I think it makes a world of sense. Let him come in, compete, see how he does. And if you move on, even if you have to move on after this year, it's not that big a deal. Mike Daniels vet minimum. No. It wasn't Pettine's fault that the team couldn't get off blocks. I mean, the team is coached, is it not? That technique is taught, one would think. I mean, no, yes, of course, you want guys that can disengage and know that and are able to use their physical gifts to do so. But there's also an element of coaching there, is there not? That is Mike Pettine's job. Oh, here, I forgot I was going to mention this. Norman, Did you hear that what Emmanuel Sanders had to say? Green Bay offered him a 3-year deal, and he didn't want to come play in the cold. If you're being honest, now I'm asking you, YouTuber to viewer, if I offered you a gig in New Orleans or Green Bay, where would you take the gig? Which one would you accept? Because I know I'd be going to New Orleans, and I love Green Bay, but I'd definitely be going to New Orleans. Come on. They both have great quarterbacks. They both have, you know, the chance to be really productive. They both have open windows to win a championship. So that stuff's pretty even. You can't go live in New Orleans or Green Bay. I get wanting to go to New Orleans. I can't begrudge him for that at all. What games have you been watching on Game Pass? I watched Division versus Dallas last night. Joey, last night I caught myself watching the Week 4 Eagles game. Frustrating contest. Packers couldn't run it, and they got run all over. Devontae exploded, and they would have won that game if Devontae didn't get hurt. Don't let anyone tell you different. They also would have won that game if LaFleur just would have been patient at the end of the first half and not gone for the kill shot, where Big Dog got beat on the sack, caused the fumble that allowed the Eagles to score right before half, take them to 21 points, and they never recovered. I mean, made it close now, and you could argue that, yes, there was pass interference on the last play of the game, but shouldn't have come down to that. But yeah, that's the latest one. Would you really want a wide receiver who doesn't want to play in the cold anyhow? Well, yeah, Joel, I think that's part of it, right? I mean, clearly the Packers, since they did offer him a deal, thought he could help them. But yeah, if that's your mindset, yeah, more power to you. Go play in a dome. Go play with a quarterback who looked real old against the Vikings. Not like the quarterback in Green Bay who, you know, kind of had his way with him this year. Both games. So, yeah, that's all right. Other than that bad pick he threw in Minnesota. Hey, Nags, I'd recommend Hinterland Seasonal Door County Cherry Wheat. It's available now. I can't do fruit beers, man. It's just ain't my thing. It's not my thing. I'm going to break my code here. I'm going to show you what I'm drinking. The Bronx Brewery American Pale Ale. This stuff, I've been to their brewery up in the Bronx. It is phenomenal. A friend of mine was having, they had a, what do you call those things? A CrossFit meet up there. And I went for the beer, obviously. I was not doing CrossFit. But as I drank the beer, watching other people do CrossFit, I was like, damn, this beer is really good. So now I have this all the time. It's outstanding. But yeah, cherry beer, can't do it. I love Hinterland, though. Don't get me wrong there. I love Hinterland. But fruit and beer, it's a bad combo. Sweet Blair Keel tweet. Talk about PTSD. Man, you know, Tyler, who runs our social, put that up there. And, ooh, baby, that's a blast from the past. That's my youth right there. Someone in response to that said, you know, man, all of you are so damn young. Not all of you, obviously, but a lot of you are so damn young. You've only ever known Favre and Rodgers. That's all you've ever known. Kids, let me tell you. Remember when Brett Hundley started for that stretch of games? It's like that for seasons on end after Rodgers retires. Just telling you, get used to it. Does Rodgers see the field like he used to? He seemed more decisive years ago. Very much agree with that assessment. I think he sees the field fine, okay, like he always has. I just don't think he trusts what he sees, meaning he doesn't trust the guys to do what he thinks they're supposed to do. You know, and that part of that is timing / reps together, et cetera. It's why he's so productive with Devontae. He trusts Devontae to be where he is. You know, a lot of those other guys, he doesn't have the reps with him, so he doesn't trust it. Kurt Warner did a whole bit on this back on 2015, 16, that really nailed it. 2016, really nailed it. You know, you're getting such a rhythm as a quarterback. You've won MVPs, et cetera, et cetera. You've been productive with so many different guys, but you've had time to develop with those guys while you're bringing other guys along. Gutekunst, you know, building up the defense meant that he let it be basically Devontae, and he went and got Jimmy Graham, who Rodgers wanted to play with. Rodgers, you know, pined and stumped for Jimmy Graham, which was great and all. It's his friend, and they always wanted to play together, but they have no reps together. And that fucking showed week after week after week. I'll never forget that first year Jimmy was in town. I can't remember which game it was, but there was a game where he, you know, basically came offline. He was, you know, started in line with his hand in the dirt, came offline, went to his left like he was going to run an out, and presented his hands, and Aaron reared up to fire, and Jimmy drifted in the zone towards the coverage when he should have just sat down. That's clearly what Aaron expected him to do. And Aaron had to eat it and got sacked. And he went up and like they had a jawing session afterwards. And I'll never, because I was like, well, yeah, you guys haven't played together at all. Maybe like Russell or Drew once upon a time said, hey, if you're here and this guy's here, okay, just drift outside a little bit. You know, that's innocent enough. But Rodgers wants you to sit in the fucking zone, give your hands, and stay still. Now, that's just one play. But you talk about that again and again and again and again, of which there are a billion examples, one of which I just put up last night in that Eagles game where Rodgers breaks the pocket, you know, and Jimmy's there presenting his hands on, you know, a shallow out, like a dart, and Aaron won't throw it. It's like, okay, and as soon as Aaron decides to throw it, Jimmy turns it upfield. There was never any chemistry between them. So I think when you talk about, does Rodgers see the field? Yeah, I think he sees it fine. He just doesn't trust the guys he's throwing to yet because he doesn't have the reps with them. And that's why, it's not the overriding reason, but one of the reasons I always talk about let guys develop is look at the quarterback. I mean, he needs those reps with those guys. He needs timing with these guys. You bring in a Ronan in the middle of the season, that's great and all, and he's got the talent, but is Aaron going to trust him if he hasn't thrown with him since like the spring? Because he's having trouble with the guys he's been playing with for months. Those are just my two bits. All right, everybody, I'm going to jump. Can't thank you enough for hanging out with me here on a Monday night, 349 lost souls. This coronavirus has us in this icy grip for the next month or so. But I can't thank you enough for supporting Cheesehead TV, for hanging out, talking Packers. Hey, hit like, hit subscribe. And if you're so inclined, please head over to Patreon and consider giving us $5 a month to support everything we do. And, you know, it doesn't just support the video side. It supports content, social, everything. I cannot thank you guys enough. Please wash your hands. Stay safe. Do the social distancing. We'll get out of this. And then we're going to have a party at Lambeau Field at some point next year. Because God knows I need one. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a great night. Stay safe. Go Pack, go.